Hello and welcome back to Dream Girl. I'm Sheen, your host, and today we're joined by a voice that you will probably recognize. Please join me in welcoming Priti Malik.
Hello.
Hi, Priti. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I will let you introduce yourself. Please tell us, what do you do?
I am the co-host of the Chris Fade Show on Virgin Radio Dubai. So I'm that girl on the radio.
Which is an early morning show as well, right?
An early morning show, yeah. We are a breakfast show. So yeah.
Okay, but that's not just what you do, though. You do so much around that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's now kind of expanded. So I MC, I do social media work, mm-hmm. I do appearances, I do a lot of different things now, campaigns and stuff. So it's kind of an expanded kind of role now.
Is this what you ever pictured yourself to be doing?
100%.
What was... Really?
Yes, yes.
Ooh, tell us about that.
Yeah. Like, I knew this is exactly what I wanted to do when I was like 16. Mm-hmm. I knew, and I've literally just worked my life from 16 until now to do what I want to do, you know?
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We'll take you a few steps back.
Okay.
So tell us, you grew up in New York.
Yes, right? Born and raised, yeah.
Yeah, how was that growing up in New York?
It was the best, like... It was just, I don't know how to describe it except saying it was the best. Like, I grew up in Queens, mm-hmm. so in New York City. Queens is probably the most diverse borough. It's kind of like an emirate. Like, we have, you know, there are seven emirates here. So we have five boroughs, which are like five emirates. So Queens is like the most diverse. I think the most languages are spoken in Queens or something like that.
Is that where Ugly Betty was from as well?
Yes.
Oh, see, I remember.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So she was from Jackson Heights. I'm not from Jackson Heights, but not too far. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like it was amazing. It was diverse. There was food from every culture. Every holiday was celebrated. There were most of the people that I went to school with were like me. They were first generation Americans.
Incredible.
A lot of their parents were immigrants. So we kind of had this shared experience and we grew up all together as first generation Americans. So it's a very unique kind of position to be in. So we kind of experienced life in a very, very similar way. You know, that was kind of the norm to be that first generation American in the family. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, culturally, it was diverse, but culturally also there was a strong South Asian community. Mm-hmm. And we grew up with all of the events and, you know, the language, the movies, the food, everything. So it didn't really feel so far removed from India, even though we were so far away physically, you know?
So would you say that you grew up being proud of being South Asian?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think there was ever a time where we shied away from it. I mean, for the first few years of my life, I went to a private school and there were like certain days where you didn't have to wear a uniform. And I chose at a very young age to like wear a lehenga to school.
Wow.
Because with like the jewelry, I'm talking like the tikka and the earrings.
We
and
go
the
all
necklace,
out. Yeah.
Everything. I just decided to because that was like, it's fine. Like it's a very normal thing there, especially mm-hmm. because there's such a large South Asian population mm-hmm. too. It's like no one really bats an eye if you're mm-hmm. wearing, you know, like a desi outfit. So yeah, I was totally proud of my heritage.
That's really cool because, you know, now one thing I started noticing, especially with my friends when I was at uni in the UK, was that a lot of people grew up being ashamed of that side of themselves because mm-hmm. they feel like they need to conform in order to be able to fit in. So it's great that you grew up with that sense of, that doesn't stop me from fitting in.
No. And I think, again, that maybe that's a unique New York City Queens experience. Mm-hmm. But for us, it was such a diverse place that everyone kind of was not shy to show their culture. I mean, I remember in elementary school, first of all, New York has a parade for every country every weekend. Like there's a parade on for some country, mm. right? And there would be like St. Patrick's Day parade. And my friend would come in the full outfit because she was Irish and she would dance in the parade. And then after the parade, she would come to school in her full outfit and she'd wear it the whole day. And I was completely okay. You know, there's so many things like that. Like we would have show and tell in school and I'd rock up to school in like a full lehenga. And I remember I taught the class how to make parathas, which is like stuffed bread. And that was my show and tell. It's not like show and tell from your culture. It was like, what would you like to show and tell? And mm-hmm. it's like, that's what I decided to show and tell. So it was a very like normal, quote unquote, thing to have a diverse background and to be kind of proud of it and bring the food in and share and mm-hmm. do all of that.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. And that makes it easier for you to fit it in Dubai as well. I feel like Dubai is the same, right?
Yeah, it does. It is. I remember when I moved here, I think I wore like kurtis to work. And I still which do sometimes. Yeah, which is like completely okay. So I was never shy about my culture or my heritage at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I fit in just fine, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, I love that. But then it's so interesting as well growing up in the West, right?
Yeah.
With all of that beautiful culture that we have as well. But then you grow up in the West.
Yep.
So how do you think that shaped you into who you are today?
Oh, that's so interesting because I think I've never really properly reflected on that because it's just a part of us. It's just how we are, I feel. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Desi side of me. Well, actually, I don't want to say that because to me, someone had asked me this earlier and I said, to me, being American is diversity. That's what it means to me personally. Now, that may differ for someone else. That may differ for someone who's not American and who is looking at the States, right? But to me, in the way that I grew up, that's the way I view what American is. American is not one type, one, you know, physicality or one race or whatever it is. To me, American is diversity because you can look like me and be American. You can look like someone, something completely opposite to me and be American too. And those two things can coexist and mean the same thing. So I don't really see myself as two different personalities merged together. To me, it is one personality. After moving here, I feel like it's been dissected a little bit more. And I can understand that because it doesn't make sense sometimes. It's like, wait, there's a Desi side and there's like an American side. But to me, it's all American. It's all a fabric of like what I guess New York is or what being American is to me, you know?
Yeah. Okay. And then why did you decide to leave, by the way, to come here?
So I graduated college at the end of 2007. And I was a broadcast journalism major. And I was really adamant that I wanted to be on air, whether it was television or radio. I had already been working in radio at that point. And I just was like, I'm not going to do anything that's off the microphone. Mm-hmm. Even though I had editing skills, production skills, all that stuff, I was like, I was just like naive and young. Let's be real. I was like young, 21. I was like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be Oprah.
Of course.
Right? Because
all say that.
It's the logical next step after you graduate college. Of course. So that was the thing for me. Now, the disadvantage of being in New York City as a media person is that people work so many years to be able to be let into the door in New York, right? Like you've got to have years of experience before you can knock on that door. And naive Breethy was like, I'm in the perfect city. No, you're not. So then I started like casting the net a little bit wider across the US, but I was just it was just not working. So a cousin of mine who grew up in Dubai was like, hey, apply in Dubai. And I was like, as if I'm going to move out of the States, right? And we just took a shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. He didn't really know anyone. Mm-hmm. He just knew the name of a news presenter. I didn't even know Virgin Radio was existing at that point. This was now March 2008 when Virgin Radio just launched. So he was like, just try. It's the Arabian Radio Network. Just try. So we randomly tried an email address. We didn't even know if it was correct or not. And it worked. And I had sent a demo along with it. And at the time, they were like, hey, we just opened Virgin Radio. We would love to have you as the news presenter for our English services. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. And I didn't really think twice. And I got the job while I was in New York. And by August, I moved. Like by the time the paperwork and all that stuff was done, I moved in August.
Isn't that crazy how life takes you places sometimes?
I never in a million years thought I would not be in New York, let alone like another city in the States. I didn't even think I would leave New York. Like I didn't even think I would leave Rego Park, Queens. Like I just thought I would be in New York forever and ever.
Oh my goodness.
And it just, I guess, I don't know, that maybe it's destiny, just the way the stars aligned, but that's what happened. Like my parents were like, wait, what?
Had you been to Dubai before?
I had come when I was like 3, so I don't really like count it.
So you had not been before, basically.
No, because I don't remember it. Like, I just know whatever, you know, my parents will tell me about mm-hmm. that visit, but I really didn't know. So I just was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. But at the time, like, every person who moves to the UAE is like, I'm going to move for a year and then I'll leave.
I'll try it out.
You'll never leave.
Yeah. How long has it been there?
16 years. You're never going to leave. It's never going to happen.
I know. Same. I can't believe even for me, I'm going on my 4th year of being here.
Right.
And I still tell people I just moved.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I just moved. It was like last year. But no, it's going on 4th year. I feel like time here moves in a very different way.
Very different. It moves way faster, I feel. Yeah.
It really does. Okay, yeah. So now at the age of 22, right, is when you moved?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Okay, let's go back to little 22-year-old pretty.
Yeah.
How did it feel for you when you were on that plane going to this whole new country you've never been?
Yeah.
Very different, very far from everything, you know. How did it feel?
I was excited. I was, like, super excited because it's like, you know, I got a job. Like, there was a point when I really wasn't getting anything where I had to start looking at other options. And I was like, no, I cannot fail at this. You know, I was like, I have to get a job in this field. There's no way I'm going to leave this. You know, I started looking at like being a bank teller. I have no experience. I don't know math. Like, I need a calculator for everything. And I was looking at jobs anywhere at that point, you know, and I was like, no, I got this, make the most of this opportunity and kind of just see what can happen. So I think I was young, I was excited, and I was just like, make the most of this opportunity and grateful that someone listened to my voice and said, we'll give you a shot. And I was really grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I like that. But I feel like you're right. When we're young, even for me, I'm the same as you, by the way. I was applying for consulting jobs in London.
Yeah.
And shot in the dark, one of my friends was like, why don't you just try Dubai? And I applied only one position in Dubai, and everything else was, and I applied for like 100 plus in London.
Yeah, yeah. Okay?
And the Dubai one came through, and I have been here on like a, you know, a transit where we came out of the airport, went to Dubai Mall and left. That's
right.
It. That's all I saw many years ago. And I thought, you know what? Let's try it. And because it's destiny, it just brings you here.
Yeah.
But when I think about it now, I feel like at that age as well, you are young enough to not be able to overthink it.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, because yes.
Right now, if you tell me to move to a different country, I'm going to be like, oh my God, what this, yeah. this, and this.
I just didn't think. I really, truly did not think. And I'm so grateful because I am the worst overthinker. And for some reason, when I made that decision, I did it in such like a snap way, which is so unlike my character. It is not me. I'm very like, I plan down to the T. I'm logistics. Everything is like super important. And I don't know what it was. It was like, I don't know if it was an out of body experience, but there must have been something pulling me here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a calling. So I just kind of made the decision. And I said yes. And I think I said yes and then told my parents. I don't think it was the other way around. I was just so sure that this was going to be an opportunity to bring me back to the States. At that time, that's what I thought. I was like, this is going to be the way that I'm going to come back home. And that's the promise I gave to my parents. Sorry.
Whoopsie.
Guys.
But now you're getting even close to living here the same number of years as you lived
Don't
in the
say
States,
that.
Right?
No, yeah.
No, not yet. Not yet. In many years to come.
In many years to yeah. come.
But clearly, there's a big pull in
yeah.
Dubai. So what made you stay?
The job.
Really?
Yeah. So I started doing news when I came here. But my dream at the time when I started this, when I was 16, 17, the vision that I had was that by the age of 30, I will be the co-host of a breakfast radio show or I will have a TV show. Those were my two options that I laid out for myself when I started at 17. I was like, 13 years is enough to accomplish this goal. Oh, so nice. Right? Well, lucky for me, I did that in my 20s.
So she was right.
Mm. Okay. But that was a lot of hard work that went into that. So when I started doing news, I was doing news for Virgin Radio for Dubai 92, which is all part of the Arabian Radio Network. Virgin Radio was quite new and all the team were quite new. So they were kind of closest to me in age, sort of, when it comes to just, you know, new people in the country. We're all new. We all moved in within that year. So we were kind of like relating to each other in that way, you know? So I kind of grew close to them. And then Chris needed someone to just do the gossip one day, and I started doing the show, and it kind of like turned into a bigger and bigger role. There was a point where I was like, I don't know if I can do news and the show and then continue. I think I may have to make a decision here. But then I ended up becoming the co-host full time and leaving the news department. So it kind of just all kept happening so kind of quickly that I didn't even have time to think about going home, because the dream that I had when I started this was coming true. So I can't turn my back on that, you know? And in radio, one of the things that we say is really important is chemistry on an ensemble show. So when you wake up at the hours that we do in the morning, you can't work with people that you don't get along with. Mm-hmm. It will show very quickly. The cracks will happen very quickly. Yeah. And if you notice, a lot of the shows will change up quickly. And it may not be because they don't like each other. It just, that's just the way radio is. But there are a few shows that come along that become heritage shows, that become shows that last for a while. Now, we've been doing this show together for, what, 14 years now? Which is a very long time. That's 14 years where we spent in a studio every single day, 5 o'clock in the morning, first people to see each other, first words that are exchanged are with each other, and we spend that much time with each other. So to be able to find that chemistry is rare in the industry. So you don't want to mess that up, you know? Like, work with the people that you love working with. Mm-hmm. And I think I found that. So I'm you know, very, very happy with that.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I don't even want to talk to my mom at that time of the day. So, you know, to have to talk to like people at work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
You need to get along.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. For okay. Sure. So other than the work, though.
Yeah.
What do you like about Dubai?
There are a lot of things to like here. I think one of the cool things about Dubai, I have to say, is there's always something to do if you're looking for it. Mm-hmm. If you're happy to be at home, you're happy to be at home. But if you want to go somewhere and do something, there's literally everything that you can think of under the sun. You name it, I guarantee we'll find it, mm-hmm. which is amazing. I think Dubai is also a land of opportunities if you choose to make it that way. It's not going to come to you, but if you work hard enough, there is a lot that you can accomplish here, which really aligns with my goals as well, because I work hard and I'm now with like-minded people who also work just as hard. So that's a really cool community to be a part of, mm-hmm. because you want to be with like-minded people. You want to be with people who elevate, you know? I also think that Dubai has a sense of community despite being a big city. It's very community. I feel like if you run into someone that you may have met for the first time and you tell them something, they'll happily support you, not knowing who you are, but have met you for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. We see that happen all the time on the radio. You know, someone will share a story where they need help. The phones will light up and they'll happily help, because it's just that community vibe, which I really like. You can trust people here, which mm-hmm. is nice. You know, my love of dance continued here. I was a dancer since I was young. I was able to find that. It's just so many different things that happen on a daily basis. Fitness is huge here.
Right.
You know?
Did you see that new, like, 30 by 30 gym they popped up on Kite Beach?
Yeah, which is amazing.
Which is free to use.
Like, what other city has that? It's crazy. So I think the opportunity is here if you are willing to work for it mm-hmm. and willing to find it, which is a great place to be in because it motivates you to do more.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I feel like, as you said, here in Dubai, there is this abundance mindset, which is why people don't compete. They all collaborate. Yeah. Everyone is very happy to help you, like put you in contact with someone they mm-hmm. know, because no one thinks that, oh, but if I do that, what about me?
Yeah.
And I really like that. I feel like even me coming in new, and I was in a corporate job, leaving that and going into this like creative world, everyone has been so supportive. Yeah. Everyone I've met has been so supportive.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's very Dubai.
It's very Dubai.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. very Dubai. As you said, once you find your little community, it's a beautiful place to be in. Mm-hmm. And I love that you're dancing again, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
What kind of dance do you do?
So I did Bollywood dancing since I was like 3. And it's just been like a part of my life. And then in college, I did competitive dancing. So I was the captain of a Bollywood fusion team in my college. And then I was part of a Bhangra team as well, simultaneously. And so we did competitions all the time for both Bhangra and Bollywood. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Damn, that's
we used to
fun.
Run the circuit. Yeah, it was so cool. Yeah.
So, weirdly enough, when I was in primary school, I used to do Bharatanatyam.
Oh, look at you, classically trained.
No, but I hated it.
Oh.
Because, you know, there's so much discipline in it.
Yeah, there
and
is.
I was like, this is not for me. And I left it, but I'm a big Bollywood fan. So.
Do you still dance?
I do.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what I was asking. I was, do you do classes now?
Well,
you
no.
You probably just dance for fun, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I used to. So I was, do you know Shamuk Davar?
Yes.
So I was a part of Shamuk Davar when I moved here, which was amazing. So that was classes. But as my schedule got like busier and busier, it was a lot harder to kind of do consistent classes.
Of course.
So I try my best to do classes here and there when I can. But now it's more like I find people to collaborate with and we dance and I do it for fun and, you know, and all that stuff. But I've choreographed many sangeets for friends and like all of that, you know. Yeah. But now all my friends are married, so it doesn't have to happen anymore. Don't need to do that anymore. But yeah, like dance is always going to be a part of my life. Mm. Always and forever.
Oh my God, we should go to a Bollywood night somewhere.
Oh gosh, I haven't been out in ages.
Time to go.
I'm too old for that shit. I can't do it.
Pretty, what did you just tell me?
Yeah, I'm older than you. You need to go out, not me.
No, but you said age is just a number.
Yeah, the number to go to sleep. 10 p.m. in bed.
One night you can make one exception.
No, one night spoils the week. I've been there, done that. I'm done.
Okay, let's talk about aging.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Right, so I obviously just entered my 30s as well, properly. And there is a lot of conversation around aging. And I was not planning on talking to you about this because for some reason I thought we were the same age.
But we are not.
Now that I know you're older, you can help me, help a sister out. Because the thing is, around me, what I see, a lot of my friends, they are all very happy with what they're doing professionally. They feel achieved. But then what happens is that a lot of them are struggling to find a husband or a wife, whatever it is. Both genders have the same problem. And now age becomes an issue because even me recently, I had a conversation with a friend and I'm sure it was coming from a good place, but it was very much like, you should be worried now because you're in your 30s.
Gosh.
I know.
The end is near.
The end is near. And the phrase was literally like, you know, we are a little bit worried because we're all married and we're all younger than you. Okay.
No pressure. Jeez.
No pressure.
Jeez.
I was like, now that my mom is not worried, someone else is.
Yeah.
But what advice do you have for people who are in their 30s?
You know what's interesting? So I'm going to be 39 in March. Okay. So
I didn't check her ID, so I'm not sure.
It's true. 1986 is the year I was born. So the thing, you know what's fascinating to me? And this is where I don't know what advice to give your generation. Mm-hmm. Because we grew up so technologically different. When I was in my 20s, you know, my sister-in-law said this the other day. She was like in the kitchen and she just walked out and she goes, I just realized you guys have never used a dating app because it didn't exist. And I was like, you're right.
It didn't.
We had websites, right? But they were meant for the specific intention of marriage. You know, whether it was culturally or even another web, like there were other websites that existed, but they were all for the purpose of finding a long-term relationship. Yeah. Now, I feel like every time I talk to someone who's a decade younger, there's like these apps. There's like coffee meets bagel, tea meets biscuit. There's Tinder. There's this. There's Hinge. There's the Bumble. There's Raya. There's so many different apps. So I don't know what advice truly to give your generation because I don't know what it's like to have that much technology available to you at that age. And that's a very honest response. I don't want to give you something that's like, don't worry, everything. I think it will come.
Yeah.
I think it will come. But the way it comes around for you is just going to be vastly different than it was for us, I think. You know, for me, I met my husband out at a club here. I realized that doesn't happen really anymore.
So.
Are people going out? Like, are you going out? Is that a thing? Do you go out on the weekends?
People do.
They do, right? So are they talking to each other? Are you just on your phone? See, when I was going out, this is going to, I sound like an auntie. But when I was going out in my young 20s, the data thing was not a thing, you know? It was expensive.
And so no one is on their phone.
We just had Facebook, and that's it. So when you went out, your phone was in your bag, and that was it. You didn't take out your phone. Maybe we took pictures with digital cameras. You know what I mean? Like, it was a different time. And so now when we go out, the first thing we do is we take out our phone. Is anyone really conversing? Mm. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's different. So as far as like that goes on how to meet people, I truly don't know what to say when it comes to that. We talk about this on the show all the time. We're always asking people, where do you go to meet people?
Wait, I swear you gave an advice once. What
yeah,
was
about
it?
Running.
Yeah,
running.
Please.
Okay, this is a theory. I'm telling you, I've seen it with my own eyes. I'll give you the theory. So the other day, when I had gone for a run, okay, there were so many groups of people. There were groups of guys. There were groups of girls. There were mixed. And I could just see what was happening. They were all talking and mingling and things were happening, which is amazing. What a great way to meet people. Join a run club. And after I said that on the radio, so many people messaged and said, it's true. Like, I've seen people in our run club get married because you end up talking, you do it weekly, you see each other. You obviously have the same interest, health, fitness, etc. I did say go later because you don't want the serious ones. Mm-hmm. You don't want the serious runners.
No, we do.
You want people who are committed, but not so like crazy, right? So like, unless like crazy health is what your thing is, but it works. So it's like, maybe that's what it's about. Finding a club that works. Like, what are your interests? What are your hobbies? Are you looking for someone? Do you care?
I am looking for someone.
Okay. Yes, so that is
I
on your
care.
Mind.
Yes,
okay.
It is on my mind.
Okay. So like, what's your interest?
Wait, wasn't it you who also said you don't have to go actually run? You
yes. Can just... Yes. Because I saw it happen. I fully, fully saw a girl. Okay. Showed up. Looked amazing. Mm. I must say. Like super cute in her outfit. And this, because I did like two stretches of running. So like, I saw this group on my way, and then on my way back, I saw the same group. And then she just like joined into the group as they were doing like the last K maybe. It's like, oh, sorry, couldn't find parking. And then she's joined. And I was like, girl, you are genius. Genius.
She cracked it.
Genius.
That's the best one.
So do that.
I might just start doing that. Just pull up at the end and be like, oof.
Or just wait at the coffee shop.
Yeah, just I got here already.
Yeah, I did my run early.
Yeah, I finished early.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. A lot of people tell you that to find things that people do repeatedly.
Yes.
So you see the same group
Over
and over because what do they call it? Like constant exposure,
yeah.
Right? Is what will bring like open doors to people.
Yeah. So like when I was going out, right, when I moved here and I was going out and where I met my husband, we would go out to the same clubs, the same two places every weekend. So we ended up knowing pretty much every, and Dubai was a lot smaller when I moved here, a lot smaller, you know? So even by my fourth month, I already knew people walking into a place, right? So like it was a lot smaller. So it's like people start talking to people. As you see the same people, you start saying hello, you start meeting people. So I think that consistency is maybe what you guys need. Because I feel like with your generation, maybe that consistency is hard to find because there's too much.
Yeah.
There's too much. So maybe whether it's fitness, whether it's like a cooking class, there's a pottery class, whether it's music, whether it's art, whether you go to the same cafe every Saturday morning to get a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's someone else who does the same thing. Maybe it's like finding that one consistent thing.
Yeah, because you're right. Because the thing is, when there's too much option, people get overwhelmed as well, right?
Then
you don't want to go through that. And some people are just not very keen to go on the dating apps. And also, you know, for me, being online, being on the dating apps is tough because...
Yeah, I don't know how you guys do it.
You can't.
Kudos to you guys.
I can't.
I really don't know.
They start sending you screenshots of your profile, or you get all the super fans who start DMing you on the dating apps, and then it's just a bit like, okay, maybe I can't do both. So yeah. Yeah. I got a stalker from it as well. So you know that was not great.
What?
Yeah. Police had to get involved. I know.
Stop.
I know.
See? Go.
That's what I need in person.
Yeah.
I need in person.
Running.
I might just do that.
Just run just club. Up,
get all of my gear. And
it's
just
winter.
This is... Spray some water on my face, but I'll just finish.
Yeah. This is, by the way, not to take away from any runners. I'm a runner myself. I go running. Please, guys.
This is just for the people who are trying to get into running.
That's
okay?
Right. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But okay, this aside.
Yeah.
But what about people who don't want to turn 30, who think that's it now, my life is over. I don't know where I'm going in life. I don't have my job yet. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's hard. Okay, the job part is hard. I can understand that. That can be really difficult because I feel like even though people say you need to have work-life balance and work isn't everything, work is a very central core of what we do as adults. You know, if that's not sorted, then your income is not sorted. Yeah. Then your home is not sorted. Like, it's such a ripple effect. So trying to find what you want to do in life is so difficult. And I consider myself lucky that I knew what I wanted to do at 17. You know, not everyone around me knew what they wanted to do. So many people who are in broadcast with me do have nothing to do with broadcast now, have decided to do something else with their lives. And that's okay. I think just knowing that it's okay to have a completely different career than what you thought you would have it's okay. The worry, I think, comes when you just don't stick to one thing long enough to see if it actually is okay. I think that's where it can be difficult then. Mm-hmm. You're making it harder for yourself. You got to give something at least, a year. And I'm being very generous here with a year. Should be two. It takes a year to get used to a place and then a year to actually work there, right? Mm-hmm. You got to give that career 2 years to kind of really figure out what's going on. But as far as your life ending at 30, I feel like your life is just beginning at 30. I feel like the 30s have just been one of my best decades, you know? I feel like in your 20s, you're very unsure of who you are. You're definitely a people pleaser. You don't want to have FOMO, so you want to do everything. You spread yourself, you know, way too thin. But I feel like in your 30s, you start to realize, okay, this does not fill my cup. This works for me. I want to try this. You know, the other day I went to a movie by myself for the first time.
I saw that on your story. I do that all the time.
I've never done that before. And I'm sad that I've never done that
before.
Did
you love it?
I loved it.
It's great.
In my 20s, I don't think I would have ever done that.
It's hot.
I would have never done that. But now I'm like, dude, this is amazing. You don't talk to anyone at the movies anyways. You might as well just go watch the movie.
Right.
You know? Like, you start realizing things a little bit more. You become more sure of yourself. You become like a bit stronger personally. So I think the 30s are amazing in that way. Career wise, I would just say you got to stick to it a little bit more to really truly know if it's not for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's solid advice. Going back to going to the cinema alone, yeah. I started doing that last year. And I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
And I only went because I was getting so frustrated with trying to organize everyone's time. I was like, you know, I really want to watch this movie. I'm just going to go.
What'd you see?
What was it? I don't even remember. What was it?
Was it a good movie at least? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's leave
that
then.
I remember that. Yeah, let's not.
Let's not talk about the movie.
Yeah, it wasn't. I think it was Bollywood. Oh, it was Lal Singh Chadda.
Oh, okay. The Amir Khan movie.
It was okay.
Yeah. But the Forrest Gump remake.
Yeah, Gump remake. And I was like, it was okay. But I just went and watched it.
But such a great experience,
and
right?
I was like, this is lovely. And I also, you know, I go for the platinum suite.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, this is like a little treat for myself.
See, I didn't do that. Because my theater didn't have that. So
next time.
When I booked it, it was empty. The row was empty. And I booked like the corner one.
Right.
When I got there, it was full. And I was like, oh my gosh. These people are probably thinking about, they don't care. Guys, no one cares.
Oh, no, for me, they did.
Oh, did they?
Because the cinema was full and there was this auntie who was sitting next to me and she came to me being like, are you okay? I mean, I thought I was. And then she was like, do you want to join us? And I was like, no, I'm okay.
Oh, bless
her. It was sweet, but she clearly was like, what is she doing alone? Where's everyone else?
You're like, auntie, you got to try this out.
trust me. But since then, I was like, I love it.
Yeah,
it's the platinum suite. You get your little throw.
Yeah.
Your legs are up.
You're like cozy.
Just enjoy it. And I think it's important for us to be able to do these
Correct.
Things.
Correct. Right? And that, I feel like, comes in your 30s.
Yeah.
Go to lunch by yourself. Go to breakfast by yourself. Go to dinner by yourself. Can you be outside by yourself? Can you try an activity without having a friend there? You're just on your own. You don't know anyone. Can you do that? Probably not in your 20s. You're probably a little bit scared to do that in 20s. In your 30s, you're like, yeah, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're never going to see these people again if you don't like it.
Exactly. And you stop caring as much as well.
Exactly.
Which is so important.
So important.
Oh my goodness. But talking about caring and stuff, right? So obviously I've read a lot about you, and I feel like us girls growing up, we are immediately put like in competition with everyone else, right? Everything you compare, how you look like, what do they look like? And then this gets even worse now with social media.
Yeah.
Because you're constantly being bombarded with highlights of everyone's life and everyone looking their best, and comparison automatically comes out, which leads to a lot of unhappy people. Have you ever experienced that?
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I had no self-esteem growing up, which is very, very odd.
That's so unlike
considering
you.
Considering the profession that I chose. However, I was like, I actually, it is the weirdest thing. So my inner thoughts were always, I don't look, I'm not pretty, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Which is like, I think an inner dialogue a lot of women have.
A lot
right?
of us.
And a lot of young girls have. Mm. But then me was like, oh, maybe I should try out for Miss New York.
I love it.
Like the confidence on the outside did not make sense with my inner dialogue. But I'm glad my personality was like that. Otherwise, I wouldn't reach where I am today.
Yeah.
However, I really, truly did have a lot of self-esteem issues, you know. And I don't know if I would have ever really crossed that line to the other side if I had social media growing up. I give credit where credit is due to the younger generations, the teens. You know, the young girls, because they are, as you said, bombarded with these beauty standards all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I would have coped with that growing up. I don't know if I could have coped. Maybe I wouldn't be who I am today or doing what I'm doing today if I had all of that in front of me, you know? So it's definitely difficult. And I think I still have my moments. I definitely still have my moments where I don't feel secure. I'm very insecure. And again, does not make sense. I'm on a stage. I'm hating people. I'm the center of attention a lot of times. But I'm just confident in my ability to do my job, and that the rest of it kind of goes to the back of my head. Mm-hmm. But before, I definitely have those thoughts still to this day. Like, oh gosh, I'm going to be saying, oh my gosh, I don't, you know, like, do I belong here? Do I not? Imposter syndrome, all of this kind of goes through your head. It's hard. It's really hard. But I think confidence comes with age also. Confidence comes with your friend circle. It comes with who you surround yourself with too. You know, I've had such wonderful friends and family my entire life, blessed that way, who've always encouraged me to do what I want to do and I'm passionate about. So that really helps as well. I understand. I know people will say you don't need validation from other people. But sometimes you need your bestie to be like, you look amazing.
Right.
You know, you want to hear that sometimes. And it does make you feel good when it's coming from your best friend or your sister or your brother or your parents or your husband or your wife. You know, I think it makes a difference. Yeah.
No, I agree. And I feel like this is the reason I ask is because it's so important for people to know that even people like you who on a stage were owning it and look so confident, they also have these thoughts
all the time,
right? We all have it. It's all not that anyone is free from this. Even like Margot.
Yeah, Margot Robbie.
Right? She talked about it. She thought she was ugly.
And she's Barbie. Like,
you played Barbie.
She is Barbie.
You are the perfect beauty standard that everyone is aspiring to.
Yeah.
But she thought she was ugly.
But I will say the positive about social media in terms of this conversation is that it's brought a world together. So, you know, growing up, the beauty standards might have been a Cindy Crawford.
Yep.
Or, you know, like of those people, Miss Universe, Miss World, like this is what we were fed as, this is beautiful. But now with social media, everyone is on that app. People who look like us are on this app. So it, when you see people who look like you doing well, you're like, oh, okay. This is beautiful too, which I think is really important and a positive side to that social media bombardment as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think that's what I was getting to, is that we do get bombarded with the negative, but there's also a community of people who are now rallying to be like, let's be more positive about how people look and accept the fact that beauty is not limited to one specific type of person. It's everyone else. And I think it's so nice. And as you said, even me, like, even when I will send my mom a picture, she'd be like, oh, you look nice today. Immediately, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess today is a good day.
And I feel like we need to compliment men a lot more, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, like, they need to hear it, too. Like, tell them they look great.
I know.
Because it goes, I feel like men, you know, it's not talked about as much, but I feel like men go through the same kind of thing as well. So if your friend, if your brother, if your dad, if your partner is looking good, tell him, because they want to hear it too. Mm-hmm. I feel so it goes both ways.
No, this is so funny. Like a few weekends ago, I met one of my male friends, and when I hugged him, I was like, oh damn, you got a little bit hench. And I just said it as a flipping comment. Yeah. Right, didn't even think about it. And then he messaged me later, being like, you made my whole day. Aww. And I was like, oh my God.
I love that.
He was like, I've been working so hard in the gym. And I was like, oh, well, I can tell.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Compliments goes out a long way. So I think we should be a bit more generous with compliments.
Yes,
as well.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely love that. But also going back to, you were saying how when people go out now, we're all on our phones.
Yeah.
So this is something I've noticed the other day. I was in Doha,
okay.
and we took the metro, which I haven't taken public transport in a very long time. And it blew my mind how everybody was on their phone. And it's not underground. It's overground. It's sunny outside. It's a beautiful place where we were. And everyone is on their phone. I looked down the corridor and everybody's on their phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so sad, because I feel like it's really creating a barrier between us. We are more connected than ever. By the same time, loneliness is also at its peak. And I think that's why we have all of these like anxiety, overwhelming things, people having panic attacks and all of that. People are just really struggling with connecting with each other. And I think that's, I don't know how to go around solving that. Like, what do you think?
Oh, it's so hard. Like, I think a lot of those issues that you're talking about, I think they existed for a long time. Mm. We just didn't have a name for it, or we right. just didn't talk about it. Now that when I think about it, like, I'm an extremely anxious person.
Me but too.
I am very panicky.
Baseline
Same. Is anxiety. Baseline Same. Is anxious. Mm-hmm. And then there's never a day where I'm not anxious about something. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that. I don't want to say that in a light manner. It's that is the absolute truth.
Yeah.
My anxiety, if this is zero mm-hmm. here, my anxiety is always here. This is standard base. I'm here all the time. Then there'll be days where I may have a panic attack and then it goes here. And I've had panic attacks before. Everything starts swirling in your head. A lot of things, you know, is the plan working? Is everything happening? Is everything? And I spiral, mm-hmm. spiral. And that happens. There's never really a day where it's kind of lower than that.
It doesn't.
Base. No. And I think that's a shared experience for a lot of people. And I think a lot of people in my generation, we didn't know what that was. We were just there.
That's and how you operate. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And I think now it's like we're talking about the mental health part of it a lot more. How do we connect when we're standing next to each other, but we're both on our phone? That is something I think we won't know until a few years, because it's still fairly new if you think about it, right?
It is.
We are only now getting to the repercussions of social media now. You know, Instagram was launched, what, 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? MySpace was however many years ago, you know, and that went defunct. And then we had Snapchat
yep.
that had its heyday, which is back still. Then, you know, we had all these social media platforms, but we're only now realizing the effects of it on mm-hmm. young children. We didn't realize it then. So I feel like the answer to this question will maybe be solved in the next 5 years mm. where we understand how to balance. You know how we look for that work-life balance? Now it's like the social media life balance. Mm-hmm. You know, in Australia, they passed that law yeah. recently where under 16, you are banned from using social media. Mm-hmm. That would not have happened 10 years ago, you know, when it first came out. Only now have we learned. So maybe that answer is coming, but we just don't know how to kind of resolve that. Maybe it is going back to the way we were without the internet
yeah.
a little bit more, you know, forcing yourself to get off that time. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the solution. I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. We don't know where technology is headed. Technology is changing so fast. It's mm-hmm. hard to like, you know, what we decide as the solution today in a month can be completely
outdated.
And be completely different. So it's really hard. And it's sometimes the anxiety comes from keeping up with that pace of like, guys, I just learned how to do this and you're changing it on me, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the solution to that is, but maybe it is just this more conversation, having a little bit more, I guess, confidence to walk into a restaurant by yourself. And instead of sitting on a table by yourself, you sit by, you know, like the bar.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have those seats. Maybe it's just sitting there and striking up a conversation next to the stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is booking a movie seat by yourself, but not in platinum, but in the regular. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting next to someone and you join and you end up talking to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is that. Maybe that's a solution.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's a solo act, but maybe it's just trying to make those friends again.
Right. But you know, I'll tell you something. I went to the Matt Rife concert recently.
Yeah.
And concert stand up.
Show.
Yeah. The show.
The show.
And they take your phone, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
They don't take it, but they put it in this bag.
Correct,
where you can't access it. And they put your Apple Watch, your AirPods, everything in it. For the first time in probably forever, I did not have access to my phone. And the anxiety I felt from, oh, but what if someone is messaging and
I can't reply?
Oh, if someone is calling me, I don't know. But then I realized that I had the best night of my life.
I love that.
I went with my friend and we had the best chat. You're really present. You're not focusing on capturing content. You're not focusing on checking all the notifications. I had the best time. And then on the way back, I was like, I realized that my anxiety is linked to my phone as well. A lot of it. In the morning, first thing I do is what? Scroll through. Oh, okay. And immediately my cortisol has gone up, right?
Because
there are these fires to put out now.
Yes, yes.
And why? Why do I wake up like this? And you know that what's funny is that this research came out, right? That in the past, our fight or flight response of cortisol came from us being in danger, from like a bear running after you.
Yes, like actually dangerous situations.
Now it's an email. The email creates the same level of cortisol.
That is, I'm sorry I'm laughing. I'm laughing because of how terrible that is.
How bad is that for us? We're not even in real danger. But now we've conditioned ourselves to react like this to everything. So I'm the same as you. When you're saying like base level anxiety, I'm the same. And I think I've been like that since being a child.
Yeah.
And it's all self-imposed.
It is. 100%. My parents were never like, you must bring 100 home.
Never.
On the test. Ever. My parents were never like that. It's not a reflection of them. I think I get so caught up in making sure everyone around me is happy, I'm doing enough for them, that it's up to a standard that I've created in my head that is completely unrealistic and unattainable, and I'm never going to reach that standard. But I put that bar there. I think the question that we ask ourselves a lot is, am I doing enough? The answer is always yes, but in my head, I'm not doing enough.
No. I feel like if I told you a list of things that I've done, which is what you've done today, you'll tell me that's more than enough.
Yeah.
But when it's your own list, you're like, ugh, you could have done more.
Yeah.
And I feel like is that thing. And I don't know what the solution is, but I feel like, tell me if it's the same for you. But for me, I feel like because I focus so much on the future and on the unknown, and then I worry about that. So then I'm like, what can I do? Work on the present. And I just like actively keep like trying to fight a battle that hasn't happened yet.
I think it also has to do with like living away from family. Does your family live here, right?
No.
I think a lot of it comes from that as well. Like to me, I'm always thinking about my parents, about my sister,
Same.
About my nephews. They're a 12 to 14 hour flight away. I'm constantly, the first thing I do when I check is to make sure I get my good morning WhatsApp forwards from my mom and dad. Every day, if I don't get it on time, like, where are they? What's
Panic.
Going on?
Yeah.
Panic, instant.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a little bit of that going on as well. There's so many things going on. I don't know what it is. Maybe we all need to like meditate.
We need to chill.
We need to chill.
Right. We need to chill. Just this morning, my friend messaged me being like, this week has been a week from hell. I'm planning on running away. Do you want to come? I was like, down. Let's go.
The solution is not running away, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it could be. But no, I think obviously we have too many triggers, right?
Yeah.
And that baseline level of anxiety needs to go. How do we get that?
Girl, if I knew, I wouldn't have baseline anxiety. If someone knows, can you tell me? Help me too, please.
Haven't your anxious mind thought about it enough?
Now I'm going to have anxiety about my anxiety. thinking about how to get rid of my anxiety. Oopsie. Thanks, Jane. Appreciate it.
Well, what keeps me up at night should keep you up at night as well.
I have plenty to keep me up at night. I don't need one more thing added to the list. I truly don't know. You know what it is? I think finding more things you love to do.
Yeah.
You got to find things that are, if it's your work, like for me, work is a big part of what I love to do. Same. But I need to do things outside of that too. That's why I dance. Mm. That's why I go to concerts. That's why I go to shows. That's why I go to the movies. Mm-hmm. That's why I sit on my couch and watch
binge whatever. Watch. Yeah.
You know, I have a dog. I love going on walks with him on the weekends because I love that. Just sitting with him, playing with him. I love that. You have to find the little things that for just, even if it's for 5 minutes, you're not thinking about anything else except for what you're doing in that exact moment.
Agreed. And I have a friend who calls it finding the casual magic.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. So every day, whether it is, oh, I saw a rainbow today, or, you know, I was feeling really cool and I came out and the sun hits me, just in these little moments and appreciating these little things really breaks you out of that pattern of stress that you have in your head.
I like that.
So I think we should do a little bit more of that. But also, we're both on social media.
Yes.
Right? How is that for you? How do you enjoy it?
I love it. It's fun. I mean, I don't think too much about it. I know a lot of people have strategies and things like that. I don't really think about it too much. You know, I started posting. I mean, we had Facebook. I have like 100 albums, like just sitting there from way back when. And, you know, when we moved to all the MySpace and all that stuff, like Instagram for me, it's just like I share what's happening. Mm-hmm. I share what I'm thinking. I share, you know, what I feel like sharing. I don't really put too much pressure on it. So for me, it's fun. I like that way. You know, when we started working in radio, there was no like visual.
Of course.
You know, part of it. It was just our voices. So it's a really cool way to connect with people who listen to the show. And maybe people who listen to the show lived in Dubai for a few years and then moved away. Mm. It's like a really cool way to create a community where we're all like-minded and we all kind of, you know, have kind of the same beliefs. And it's a lot of fun. It's a fun community. That's the way I view social media. Mm. It's a great way to keep in touch with people as well who you may have just, you know, cross paths with at some point in time, but you really connected. So now, you know, you stay in touch on social media. So I think it's a really fun place to be.
I agree. And it helps you find people like we found each other, right? On social media. It's really good to find people who are similar to you, who you might want to work with. And just as you said, building a community, which I think is beautiful.
And I think it's, you know, authenticity is a big part of social media. And for me, especially, like, you know, when I first started on Instagram, it was curated because I think it was just a photo app at that point. Mm. So I was like, the photo's got to look good. My makeup,
the border,
you know, like everything's got to be like really aesthetic before aesthetic was a thing. And then I realized, listen, that is not me. And that is not me 24/7. Mm-hmm. Most of the time I'm in sweatpants, a t-shirt, in glasses. My hair is whatever. Mm-hmm. I have no makeup on and that's me. And I started sharing that. And I think a lot of people resonated with that a lot more. And I think that's where my kind of growth happened, especially during COVID, because we're all sitting at home, right? I'm not out at events, dolled up somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think people realized that we are the same, which I love. Mm. When you find someone, you're like, oh, we're the same person. I love that. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it's just, it's just a reflection of who I am, which I love.
Yeah, which is good. And you're right. People are really more gravitating towards authentic content now and, you know, very raw content, which is why podcasts are doing well as well, because people want to be part of that conversation rather than seeing a scripted video that has been filmed and edited properly. So it's really nice. I think on that front, social media is moving towards the right way.
Yeah, like, I think so too.
Let's bring back the raw content.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah.
The real talk. But, okay, question for you in terms of like, you've had a beautiful journey with ups and downs as everyone else, but what has been a pivotal moment for you where you felt like maybe you discovered more about yourself?
Ooh. Interesting. I think you've stumped me here.
I know. Take your minute.
Where I discovered something about myself. I am very much guilty of not pausing very much guilty. Goes back to the whole anxiety thing and mm-hmm. all that. I'm very guilty of not pausing to reflect on my journey or the accomplishments that I've had or what I've done to reach where I am. To me, I don't know why I don't do that. I don't give myself a pat on the back or ever. I'd never, ever do that. For me, I'm always like, okay, what's the next thing I'm doing? You know, like, okay, where's the next gig? What are we doing on the show tomorrow? What's happening? What is everything sorted? What, is this edited? Is this okay? I'm always in constant motion. I think for me, what changed, if I look back now, and this is very quickly, I'm not even like, I haven't had the time, right, to think. I think one of the greatest things was finding, Chris and I finding each other was like a pivotal moment. And I don't think it was a pivotal, we didn't realize it was a pivotal moment then. We just found each other. We started doing stuff together and we realized the chemistry is there. And we just like worked on that. But I think if we were to pause now and then reflect on us, I don't think we would be where we both are without each other. And I think we both recognize that, you know, like we are a good team. And then when you throw Rossi into that mix too, it's like the perfect little mix. And I think the three of us together was a pivotal moment because I think it changed the game a little bit. You know, we're the three of us are very high performing people. We want the best every single day, every single day. There's never a day we walk into that room going, we're going to do mediocre today. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the best we possibly can. So I think that was a pivotal moment, but at that time, we didn't realize it was a pivotal moment.
It's more looking back now that you can appreciate it.
Yes, because I think we've created something that I don't think can be repeated ever again.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. And on that note, a final parting question for you, or more advice that you want to give. What advice do you want to leave our listeners with? Anyone who is, you know, on the journey of like trying to achieve their dream and, you know, staying motivated through the hard times and everything. What advice do you have? What works for you?
I think motivation for me is loving what I do. So try to find something where you really love what you do. And, you know, this, and it doesn't have to be in media. It doesn't have to be on social media. You can love your 9-to-5 finance job. You can love your 9-to-5 engineering job, teaching. You name whatever the category is, you can love it. If you run a cafe, if you are a chef, whatever it is, just find what you love to do. And it's okay if your job is not a social media job. I think we need to say that nowadays because I feel like a lot of people feel the pressure. What's your side hustle? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? No, you don't need to do that. As long as you're happy doing what you're doing, that's a huge part of your motivation of, you know, as I said, yes, there's a work-life balance that you need. However, our jobs are a central core of what we do. And if that's not making you happy, the rest of your life suffers along with it. So I think number one is that, knowing, finding what you love to do. And part two of that is knowing that it does not have to be in a out there social media, quote unquote, influencer type job. It could be whatever you want it to be. And I think the second piece of advice that I can give is try to be as authentic as you possibly can for the rest of your life. And I think just grounding yourself always is really, really, truly important. Being humble, working hard, being grateful for what you have, the blessings that you do have, and still being hungry for wanting more. I think those are things that are really, truly important and need to be felt from the bottom of your soul.
Thank you, Pretty. I feel like you've left us with so many nuggets of wisdom that we can now deep dive into. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. Thank you.
I'm glad you had fun. We had a lot of fun, definitely. Yeah. But thank you so much for being here, and maybe potentially there'll be a part two at some point.
Yes. And once we find that solution to the anxiety thing.
Yeah. And if anyone sends it, we'll publish it for the rest of the world.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.